Broadcasting from the ESPN Radio studios in Tallahassee, Florida, and in partnership with the JoeBucksFan.com podcasting network, this is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast with Tom Lang.
All we do is win. That's life in Tampa Bay Lightningville, USA. This is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast. Happy Friday, Tampa Bay. How you doing? The days are mad up here in Tallahassee. We are a part of the JoeBucksFan.com podcasting network, and we are presented all season long by Bill Curry Ford. As the gentleman said, my name is Tom Lang, and it is my pleasure to be with you. 8 points were available to the Tampa Bay Lightning since we last spoke. 4 games, including 2 against the Washington Capitals, and we grabbed all 8 of the points. You got to be used to it by now. 1-7 in a row, 9 of 10, 58 out of 75 games. That is stupid. I'll be done pretty soon with the superlatives. I'm getting tired of it myself. You never, at your core, are tired of winning. But when you see the Lightning and the Capitals skate on that same sheet of ice, and you watch them play 120-plus minutes of hockey over the span of about 5 days, the playoffs, they start entering your mind. And those games were close to playoff intensity. They didn't have the same full-on physical edge, especially the one on Saturday. Wednesday was really close. But the tight checking, the play was a little bit looser than you're accustomed to seeing in the playoffs. But when you see these two teams clash and how good they are, because I know we grabbed all 4 points that we could and Washington took us to overtime with a late goal on Wednesday. Those games were coin flips. They really were. They could have gone either way. And here's hoping that Washington is eliminated before we see him in the playoffs. I'm sure they are saying the same thing about the Lightning. But NHL Public Relations released this little nugget last night. As I said, it's a good follow on Twitter at PR_NHL, because every time we do anything, it seems these days, it's breaking some kind of record or threatening some kind of record. With 7 games remaining, they write on their Twitter feed, the Tampa Bay Lightning sit 5 victories shy of establishing the NHL record for wins in a season. Of the 5 other teams to win at least 58 games, which the Lightning have done, 3 went on to capture the Stanley Cup. That's right. We are in the company of company now, the most elite to ever play in an NHL regular season. And the reason I will argue that it's us and the lockout-shortened Chicago Blackhawks as neck-and-neck for the most impressive teams in hockey history is because you have a wider talent pool. The Montreal Canadiens in 1976-1977, for example, that won 60 games, which is an incredible feat. They didn't play in the expansion era. There weren't 30-plus teams in the NHL like there are now. And they didn't have a salary cap. The Red Wings in 1995-1996 didn't exist in a salary cap world. So, if they had some homegrown talent, they could retain it. They could offer whatever they wanted with no consequence other than to the checkbook of their ownership group. We live in a salary cap world. We are now most likely going to clear 60 wins in 82 games. We are going to win more than 75% of our games in a regular season in a sport like hockey. I don't know if we're going to win the cup. And of course, I said on the first episode of this year's edition of the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, this is a cup or bust season. I do, however, quite separately appreciate what we are. President's Trophy champions, if you will. It's not the championship you want, but we own the President's Trophy with 9 games to go. Keep on winning. We beat Washington in a thriller on Wednesday night and then turn around last night emotionally drained and still have enough in the tank to more than handle the Carolina Hurricanes. See, I didn't call them Panthers this week. Wow, this is quite the year, and I don't know that Tampa Bay Lightning season, that any season in this franchise's history moving forward is going to have so many milestones and or records being broken at the pace that we're seeing this year. be it Tampa Bay Lightning franchise records for team achievements, points in a month, winning streaks, consecutive games with a point, individual numbers, somebody breaking a single season Tampa Bay Lightning record, or career numbers, as Steven Stamkos is now the owner of the number one place in Tampa Bay Lightning history in terms of goals scored. He's now flirting with 390 and had his career to this point not been shortened by several injuries and one lockout, he would already be in the neighborhood of about 500 goals, if not over it. And it's phenomenal to watch the player he's become. And frankly, on this, the week of March Madness, I am going to first say I was mad early in this season to doubt you, Steven Stamkos. I know what the data said. I know what my eyes told me that you were. And then you evolved into a completely new player, a more complete hockey player. He is the captain of this team, and he should be. He is a leader off the ice, and he does a lot of little things on the ice. He has turned into a bona fide playmaker. Good friend of mine, Matt, was in town this week. He was somebody that I watched a lot of Lightning games with when I was an undergrad here in college. A couple in high school, too, but we've watched a lot of hockey together. And we both had our doubts about who Steven Stamkos would be in the later part of his career, because for a long time here, he was a one-trick pony. Of course, his office on the power play is one of the most amazing things to watch, but you can't bank a franchise on somebody who can fire a one-timer at incredible speeds with incredible accuracy. You can't count on power play, so you can't count on that to survive. But what Steven has turned into is somebody who sees the ice the way Marty St. Louis saw the ice. And I don't think that is an overstatement. If you look just this past week at a couple of the goals that were scored, the Cirelli one last night against Carolina and the Kucherov power play marker that came from all the way to Holpe's left, where Stamkos makes a backhand pass precisely on the stick to Kucherov. These are the things that we saw and expected and really appreciated about Marty St. Louis. Vinny was the goal scorer, yes, but Marty was the playmaker. 26 made everybody better. And what we were talking about, my buddy and I, this week was if Stamkos played on a line with Kucherov all year long, or he played on a line with somebody who could really finish consistently, how many more points would he have? He would probably be challenging Nikita Kucherov for the points race. As it stands, it's a runaway. Connor McDavid has been trying and trying, and he's been on a freakish point production streak. Excuse me. A lot of talking this week with the madness. But he's only at 107 points. Even in going nuts for the past 3 weeks, Connor McDavid sits at 107. Nikita Kucherov's at 120. Just like our hockey team is at 120 points in the standings, so too is 86 in the individual points total category. And I thought it was kind of ridiculous earlier this month, the question was asked, who's going to finish with more points, the Lightning as a team or Nikita Kucherov as a player? And I thought it was ridiculous. The answer was going to be most certainly Nikita Kucherov. But now we've rattled off seven straight victories, including two over Washington, a Monday night win that was probably the most impressive for me over Arizona, a team that's really hungry. And that game was so tightly checked, and we found a way to win that one. And of course, last night, a really hungry team at Carolina. So if you're going to win four in a row, seven in a row overall, but four since we last spoke, against those teams who were playing for high stakes, seeding, being in the playoffs at all, maybe we will finish with more points than Nikita Kucherov. Maybe I was dead wrong about that all along. Been wrong about a few things this year, and Stamkos and this little points race are certainly a couple of them. One thing I was not wrong about, though, when I was doing first half MVP awards, Ryan McDonagh is starting to come on again, folks. And I love Victor Hedman. He's my favorite player on this roster, and he's my favorite player to watch. But Ryan McDonagh, that first half is not a fluke. And he has been a big piece, obviously, to getting us to where we are this season. But it looks like his game is rounding into form again. One thing to note as we head down the stretch here, and I've had so much fun watching these two Capitals games because it does, you just get that little taste of what it's going to be like. When the hour changes, that reminds me of the Stanley Cup playoffs too, because the first period starts and it's still light outside. And I watched one of these games outdoors And when you see the Lightning and the Capitals go at full speed and really go toe-to-toe for a 4 or 5 minute stretch, you realize that even though the margin between us and the rest of the NHL is really, really wide in the regular season standings, in a best of seven, if it's Tampa and Washington for all the marbles in the Eastern Conference, hold on to your hats or hold on to something else and hold it tightly, because it's going to be quite the war. Root for the upset in the other side of the bracket, just like they are rooting for the upset with us. Andre Vasilevsky now leads the league. He's tied for the league lead, I should say, in wins, 35 wins on the season. And Vasi's now number 5 in goals against at .229, and he's number 2 in save percentage at .930, behind old friend Ben Bishop, who had a shutout streak of well over 220 minutes. I think it got over 230, setting a franchise record for the Dallas Stars. We say hello to our friend Ben. We all left on good terms, and we miss him. But Vasi has all of the numbers, even though he missed a long period of time in the first half of this season, to be up there with the best. I'm going to have an unpopular take about Andre Vasilevsky, though, on the other side of this break. This is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, brought to you all season long by Bill Curry Ford on JoeBucksFan.com. Hope all of you are enjoying this beautiful spring weather during the madness of March. We'll be right back after this.
Taking you higher than a Dave Mishkin go call. You're riding the Lightning on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast with Tom Lang.
It's more than just a powertrain at Bill Curry Ford. New general manager Sean Sullivan has a message for you, Tampa Bay. All 2018 vehicles must go. Get them off my lot, he says. Up to $10,000 off. You can reach out to Sean Sullivan or check out BillCurryFord.com today. But all the easy details, they are at BillCurryFord.com. Thank you so much, Bill Curry, as we are wrapping up the regular season. This has been a wonderful experience, historic season in Tampa Bay Lightning, and even though I'm living 4 hours away from Tampa, 3.5 if you hustle and you make good time on 75, it's just been a pleasure to be somewhat a person who gets to mark the times. And I love this franchise so much, and I really, really love the franchise under Jeff Vinnick because of the first-class nature they do business. And I'm so glad to see that the successes they're having this regular season mirror the effort they put into the Tampa Bay community. I'm not paid to say that. As you know, I've had opinions about the organization that aren't always positive. But by and large, the way they treat people, the way they run things behind closed doors, this is a first-class franchise. And their heart as an organization is being rewarded on the score sheet and in the standings with 120 points. And so as we close out this regular season in a couple weeks' time here, I just reflect on what fun it has been to watch this group night in and night out. They win different ways. They have won with more physicality this year in 2018, 2019, and they're doing so while they're breaking records and having fun. It's one thing to win 2-1 and play the trap. It's quite another to be able to light it up for 6 or 7 goals a night and for it not to be a fluke. We're back again flirting with 4 goals a game on average. We're not there. We'll have to put up some big numbers before the season's over, but we're back flirting with that, flirting with 30% on the power play. The penalty kill is top 5, which has been a huge change. The two big changes between last year and this year are hits. We are much more physical, and also the penalty kill has been a lot better. That said, when you see Washington's power play tick, it is pretty scary, isn't it, Tampa? That group, they're not quite as good as we are, but they're not far behind. And it's been a really fun week to watch these Bolts. And Andre Vasilevsky has been a big part of these wins. I know Louis Domingue got the W last night out in Raleigh. But Vasi hasn't been as sharp. No. The take I was teasing is not Louis Domingue should be our goaltender. I'm not insane. But Vasi hasn't been as sharp. He hasn't been as quick to get square to the shooter in the last week or two, I've noticed, than he typically is. His standard is so high that even when he's slumping, he makes 4 or 5 fantastic saves a game. We hang him out to dry too much still to my liking, too much for my liking, I should say. And he makes incredible saves. I mean, the highlight reel stuff that we saw, remember last year, he made 2 saves One against Los Angeles at home. It was Vinny LeCavalier night. And the other was on the road against Montreal. Two saves where he tucks his glove behind his back. And he intended to do it. It wasn't a fluke. And now this year he's made three or four saves where he's on the ice and sprawling like Dominik Hasek, that I think we take him for granted a little bit. But you can also be critical when he's not 100% sharp. I think he's got his B or his B-plus game right now. And I'm glad to see it now instead of, you know, in the second round of the playoffs or against a team like Washington. That goal, I'm not even talking about the goal that he gave up to Kuznetsov that tied the game on Wednesday at 4. I'm just generally talking about the way he's pushing off left to right, right to left. It's not quite as crisp as it usually is. So here's hoping that Vasi finds his sea legs and gets back to A or A-plus games. He's not awful, guys. I'm not criticizing him and saying he's bad or holding us back. It's just when he's right, he looks a little bit different. He sees the puck a little bit better than he's seeing it right now. He's fighting it a little bit. I don't think it's fatigue, though, and that's the good thing about the injury he suffered. You never want to get hurt, but his games played number is pretty low compared to where it would have been had he been healthy all season long. Stamkos the passer, to me, is the number one storyline this week. It's not even the fact that he passes Vinny, and I think that's awesome. It's not the President's Trophy. I'm just watching this dude make plays, and it is breathtaking to watch. He has developed into a complete player, and I know I said it in the first segment, and this is a bit of a repeat, but I'm that shocked by the 91 that I can now count on every single night, and that's pretty cool to watch. Kudos to Alex Killorn for a hat trick on Saturday against Washington. The goal he scored in the one-on-one situation where he stays with the puck and buries it past Holtby is one of the cooler goals I've seen scored all year, just because it, you know, typically a one-on-one rush, who wins? It's the defenseman that wins. The forward either doesn't get a good shot off or it's outright blocked. He's cordoned off into a small area, and he has to make do in a small area. But Killorn stays with the play. He really wins that one-on-one battle before the rebound even falls on his stick. But we do get a little bit lucky this week, too. A couple of goals against Washington again that are off defensemen's legs or skates. The bounces went our way. But the number one thing for me about those two Washington games is we were in position to score ugly goals. And that is something I saw last week that I didn't really remark on when I was talking about the Toronto victory that had me so buoyed, was the Toronto win was full of puck control and time in the offensive zone, but we scored greasy goals, ugly goals, the things you usually see in April and May that help decide who wins a best of seven and who goes home. We are scoring in the dirty areas, near the net, around the net with deflections. We're getting the puck on the net more. I know Washington outshot us by a bunch on Wednesday, but our scoring chances, a lot of them were grade A's. And if you think about the Joseph goal, and I know he wasn't the one that put it in, it was Cirelli off of a defenseman's skate, but Joseph makes a play, and it's an incredible quick move in front of Holtby. A high backhander off the crossbar comes out to Cirelli off a defenseman's skate and in. That's a playoff goal. That's exactly what you need in the playoffs. Not everything is going to be a one-timer right to left on the power play. You got to find a way, even strength, to get the job done. Brian Boyle was awesome at this. Yanni Gord is good at this. And maybe it's this line, some combination of Killorn and Cirelli, Matthew Joseph, maybe JT sees some minutes there, or Yanni sees some minutes there. But you got to have those greasy goals in order to get where you want to go in the playoffs. And I love the fact that we are looking more like a playoff team in terms of the raw chances we are generating. They don't all have to be pretty. And sometimes we fall into a pattern where we are trying to pass the puck into the net. Get the puck on the net a little bit more. It's a fine balance. I'm not the guy in the stands across this NHL-loving continent that says shoot every 3 seconds. I think that's stupid. But at the same time, there is value in giving yourself a chance, especially when everything's going to be clogged up as we get into the postseason. Honestly, guys, the in-game breakdowns this week, there isn't much to say other than we show a lot of heart. The Washington games both could have gone either way, but I'm glad they went our way, obviously, because you want to get confidence. You don't want there to be some sort of intangible thing out there that we can't beat the Capitals, because then you get domed up and you're affected if you see them in the playoffs. But we're a long ways off before the bracket gets there. We got to get there first, and obviously so do they. The NHL standings this week, it's getting really interesting in the East. Maybe throw some music underneath. All right, fine. We'll throw some St. Paul. I play this song all the damn time. I'm sorry, guys, but I love this track. It's mad up here, by the way. Florida State victorious on the court on Thursday. So was the University of Florida. I'm happy about one of those. Next to the Stanley Cup playoffs, the heart in your throat moments, they're the best in March Madness. Because you go on runs. It's like a little 10-2 run going either way over the course of 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes. No field goals scored in 4.5, 5 minutes, and you feel like you're the worst team in the country, and then you're the best team in the country. The ups and downs of March Madness is freaking incredible. But back to hockey. Eastern Conference situation, we are far and away the best. Boston is not going to get hawked down, I don't think, by Toronto. Boston's at 99 points. Through 74 games, Toronto played the same amount of games, but they're 6 points back. So I don't think they're going to close a six-point gap before the season's out. It looks like Boston and Toronto are destined to play one another, and that will be in TD Garden for Game 1. The Metropolitan Division is where things do get interesting. Through 74 games, Washington leads the division, 94 points. The Islanders are in second place, same amount of games played. NYI have 91 points. Then in third place, there are the Pittsburgh Penguins. 75 games played, 91 points. Carolina hot on their tails. Carolina's played two fewer games than Pittsburgh. That is to say, they have two games in hand. They are 4 points behind Pittsburgh. Should Carolina win the two games in hand, they would take over third place in the Metropolitan. That's where things get really, really interesting. But is Carolina safe from being out of the you could be at home and golfing in 3 weeks discussion? No. Carolina's not safe. Here's the wild card rundown. As we said, the Hurricanes through 73 games have 87 points. Montreal, 74 games played, 85 points. So the Habs are trying to get into that slot to play us in the first round. On the outside looking in currently, the Columbus Blue Jackets, who have lost three in a row. Poor time to go on a three-game losing streak. The Jackets are at 84 points. They have played 74 games. So if the season ended today, it would be the Lightning and the Habs, Boston and Toronto. That would be our side of the bracket. And the other side would look like Washington, Carolina, Islanders, Pittsburgh. I don't care how it happens. I am rooting for Washington and Pittsburgh in the first round. Get one of those two jokers out of the field. That would be my preference. Coming up for the Lightning this week, well, there's a bunch of action on the rink. And like a dolt, once again, I didn't pull up their schedule and have it handy. That's not what you do. That's not how you get things in line. I know tomorrow night we do play the St. Louis Blues on the road. That's a big game. St. Louis is fighting for the opportunity to host Nashville in the first round in the Western Conference. I won't go through all of the Western Conference scenarios, maybe next week. But St. Louis will be a charged opponent, ready to go. That's tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Go Bolts there. And then the week following, close out the home schedule a week from tomorrow, Saturday, March 30th, when we play Washington, the third and final of our matchups with the Capitals in the regular season. But in between then, Monday night, March 25th, 7:30 p.m., that means a puck drop around 7:40, it's Tampa Bay-Boston, our second-to-last matchup with the Boston Bruins. And then when the that little mini two-game homestand ends, we hit the road for that infamous four-game Canadian-slash-Bostonian road trip that I talked about to finish off the slate. April sees us playing on the road at Ottawa, on the road at Montreal, on the road at Toronto, and then wrapping up the season on Saturday, April 6th against the Boston Bruins. This has been the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast. Guys, enjoy the weather outside. Go for a walk. Throw the ball around. Sit on a deck and watch the March Madness and some Lightning hockey. And enjoy St. Paul and the Broken Bones as we close out this week's podcast. Great talking to you. See you next Friday.